I actually didn't know who tonight's learning was dedicated towards. As Rav Yossi said it, it happens to be that I remember the midos that Rav Yossi described in this young bachur. I'd like to discuss Be'ezer Hashem tonight is the Gidrei Avelus of Bein HaMitzarim. And in regards to the halachos of Avelus of Bein HaMitzarim, it reminds me of a joke that there was a individual who came to a Rav with a Shaila. It was actually a Din Torah. And in the Din Torah, Reuven presented his side. And the Rav said, well, I have to hear Shimon's side. And he listened to Shimon, and he said, Reuven, say it over again. Reuven presented his side, and he said, the Rav said to Reuven, you're right. Then he turned to Shimon, say it over again. And Shimon said over his side, and the Rav said, you're right. The Rebbetzin called out from the kitchen, how could they both be right? And the Rav said, you're right too. Sometimes when we have a discussion, particularly as we're going to see in the halachas of Avelus of Bein HaMitzarim, the details could become quite complex and unclear. Be'ezer Hashem tonight, what I'd like to do, the structure is as follows. Firstly, describe the basic halacha according to the Mechaber and the Ramah in regards to Avelus of Bein HaMitzarim. See the standard beautiful explanation that the Rav Zatzal gave in the Machlokas, and how to understand the requirements of Avelus. Then see Rav Moshe Feinstein's position. And after that, ask a few questions in regards to the actual Shita of the Ramah. And then see what the possible resolution might teach us in regards to our own Avoda, our own personal Avoda during the Bein HaMitzarim. So let's take a look at Makar 1, the basic psak of the Ramah that many of us are aware of. V'noagin lahachmir she'ein nosim miyudzayim b'tamuz ve'elech ad achar tisha b'av. The Ramah says that our custom is not to have weddings from Shivasar b'tamuz until after tisha b'av. This stands in contrast to what the Mechaber writes in Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Shvuah shechal bo tisha b'av, asurim lesaper ulechabes. The Mechaber writes that when he discusses the halachos of Avelus, he discusses it only in regards to shvuah shechal bo, that it's prohibited to get haircuts and to undergo the process of laundering. The Ramah comes along and he expands it. The Ramah says in Sif Gimel again in number 2, v'anu noagin lahachmir b'chol zeh, Mitchias Rosh Chodesh ad Achar HaTainis. Our custom is to prohibit it from Rosh Chodesh and on. Sif Dalit. The Ramah then goes on and he also expands the halacha of Shvuah Shechalbo. V'noagin lahachmir mitchilas Rosh Chodesh l'inyin kibus. Avol l'tasporas noagim lahachmir miyudzayim b'tamuz. So the Ramah tells us that there is an expansion again of the halacha of hair cutting for what we call the 3 weeks. What exactly is the Avelus of the 3 weeks? What we now call, according to the Ramah, the 9 days, and the halacha, the halachos of Tisha B'Av themselves. What structure do they fall in? So Margolam Ipume Agrid, there's a beautiful explanation that the Rav Zatzal gave that's quoted over here. Rav Schechter presents it eloquently in a few places. In number 4, we have it in the Nefesh Harav, that the Rav gave a beautiful hesber, which we're going to see in a moment, Rav Moshe did not agree with. Rabbeinu hisbir, sha'minig avelus miyudzayim b'tamuz ve'elech, hu b'bchinas avelus shel yud beis chodesh, u b'shavua shechal bo, tisha b'av. Have b'bchinas shloshim, u b'tisha b'av gufei noagim kol dinyei shiva. The Rav suggested that the minog of Ashkenaz is the following. The 3 weeks is modeled after if someone lost a parent. It's like Yud Beis Chodesh. So the halachos that we have, if someone loses a parent, they can't go to a wedding. So that applies also for our 3 weeks. In other words, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, they're not just stam that the Ramah, as we would say in Yiddish, was varfing, was just throwing out a minhag here, a minhag here. There's a system. And the system is the 3 weeks are modeled after Yud Beis Chodesh. When it comes to Shavua Shechalbo, that's modeled, it gets closer to the sense of severity of Tisha B'Av. That's modeled after Shloshim. And then, when you get to Tisha B'Av, so those are the halachos of the Shiva itself. This is the opinion of the Rav. Now, many of you know that the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik have a very interesting kula that emerges from this, and that is, and it, by the way, it's not only from the Rav, you could find the Ber Halacha quotes this from Rabbi Akiva Eiger as well, and that is that when it comes to the 3 weeks, so there, before Shabbos, should you shave or shouldn't you shave? In many of the yeshivas, the guy's hair, their facial hair begins to grow. But if we say that the halacha of the 3 weeks is modeled after Yud Beis Chodesh, so not only is it permissible to shave, because at the end of the day, an ovel in Yud Beis Chodesh, as long as his facial hair begins to grow, so then he's allowed to shave. As long as it reaches the shiur giur that people would protest, he's allowed to shave. So not only is it permissible, the Rav argued, it would actually be a chiyuv for the Kovach House. I remember we were together as a kola with a younger Talmidim of YU. I remember I once took a group of boys to Rav Schechter during the 3 weeks, and we were speaking and learning with him, and all of a sudden he stopped. And he said, "Why does everybody have beards? Why does everybody have beards?" He was sending us a message. He thought that it was a Zilzal Kvot Shabbos. And according to the Rav, that is a Mahalach. However, other Talmidim of other Mesorahs, particularly the Mesorah of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe in source number five, seems to indicate a different position. Rav Moshe suggests that when it comes to the halachos of the 3 weeks, it's not so simple that the 3 weeks, according to Rav Moshe, follows the pattern of Yud Beis Chodesh. If you take a look on the second, let's start from the beginning. Ubidvar Tisporis Lisha, number five, Bimei Asfira. Hine Avshoi Mistaber Lahatir Me'achar Shegam Ba'Avelus Achar Shiva Toch Shloshim Atirin. Rav Moshe discusses what's the halach in regards to a woman cutting her hair during the 3 weeks and the 9 days. So Rav Moshe says, well, in general, the halacha is, according to some Rishonim, that a woman is allowed to cut her hair after Shiva. So since a woman is allowed to cut her hair after Shiva, so then it would follow that in the 9 days and in the 3 weeks it would be permissible. However, v'lachein afla Rav Moshe kosev she'ikir ka'osrim ba'avelus. However, he says, Rav Moshe says, the custom is that a woman doesn't cut her hair throughout Shloshim. During Yud Beis Chodesh, she does. But during Shloshim, she doesn't. Ulai, so he says, based on this, Nira lahachmir, Rav Moshe says that one should be machmir, even bebein hamitzarim. Even during the 3 weeks. Even during the 3 weeks, a woman should not cut her hair, just like whom? Just like a man doesn't cut her hair. But wait a second. A woman only has a prohibition during Shloshim. She doesn't have it after Shloshim. Yet Rav Moshe seems to suggest that, unless there are cases of necessity, that a woman should not cut her hair during Bein HaMitzarim. So what do we see for Rav Moshe? That Rav Moshe does not take the model that the Rav had, that said that the 3 weeks are only modeled after Yud Beis Chodesh. But rather, according to Rav Moshe, it seems that it's closer to the halachos of Shloshim. So hence there are different customs till this day of how to act during the Bein HaMitzarim. Do Bein HaMitzarim have the din, if you will, of Yud Beis Chodesh? That was the approach of the Rav. And Rav Moshe's approach was, seemed closer to somehow model it after the halachos of Shloshim. Now I want to point out that even though the Rav system is so systematic and so beautiful, and in many ways, no one really has found a way to be magdir, as far as I know, Rav Moshe's approach. Nevertheless, I won't get into it right now, but if you take a look at source number six, you'll hariv over it, you'll take a look that I think the Bach says, beferish, bepe mole, like Rav Moshe's position. So even though the Rav's system is beautiful, and that is a system that many have assumed. I think the Bach in source number 6 really brings out the position of Rav Moshe. This is an introduction. Ad kana hakdama. That's the general approach that Rav Soloveitchik took. Rav Moshe disagreed. Now, Rabosai, I'd like to be ma'ayin with you a little. I'd like to begin to delve into the sugya of Shvua Shechalbo and what we call the 9 days. And once we begin to look into it, maybe there will be a very, very powerful mussar that will be important as well, aside from, I think, a beautiful lumbus. So what did we see according to the Ramah? When does the Ramah say that the halacha is that you're not allowed to wash your clothing? Let's look back, remind ourselves. Very good. In the 9 days, the Ramah said in source number 2, that in the 9 days, there's a prohibition to launder your clothing against the mechaber. Rabosai, I've always been bothered. That halacha of the Ramah, how does he fit into a beferish Gemara? Hence the joke. You're right, and you're right. The Gemara says beferish against the Ramah. Take a look. It's source number 7. Source number 7 seems to be a beferish Gemara against this. The Gemara has 3 different opinions of when Nihuge Avelus begins. Says the Gemara in source number 7. V'noag avel mirosh chodesh v'ada tainis divrei Rabbi Meir. One opinion says from Rosh Chodesh until Tainis. Beautiful. Oh, that's right. Meir would be beautiful according to the Ramah. However, as the Gemara goes on, there are 2 other opinions that are quoted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol HaChodesh Kula Aser. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Aser Alosa Shabbos Bilvat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds there's only an Isser of Shvua Shechalbo. What is the Gemara's maskana? Omer Rava, skipping down a line or two. Amar Rava, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. V'amar Rava, halacha ki Rabbi Meir v'tarvayu l'kula. You know what the Gemara concludes? The Gemara concludes, we follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that the halachos of the, what we call the 9 days, the halachos of Shua Shechalbo start only that week. And we also go l'kula, that it doesn't follow after Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says, black on white, that the halacha is like the man, the Omar, that says that we go after Shvua Shechalbo. So where in the world could the Ramah come up with a minug? What's the evolution of this minug when the Gemara itself says, Beferish, that the only time there is Nihuge Avelus is the week in which Tisha B'Av falls in. I just quoted to you in the Tzarech Iyun under number 7 that the Tshuvas Marishtam says that if you have a minhag, a custom that goes against the majority of poskim, you don't follow that minhag. Kal v'chomer here, where the Gemara says, beferish not that way, what is pshat in the Ramah and the minhag of Ashkenaz today? That is Tzarech Iyun number 1. So again, let's summarize what we've had up until now. We've seen the general approach of the Rav, that the 12 days is modeled, the 3 weeks are modeled after your Beis Chodesh. We saw that the halachos of what we call the 9 days is modeled after Shloshim, and we have the halachos of Tisha B'Av, which are modeled after Shiva. Tzarech Iyun number 1 is, but wait a second, how could the Ramah have expanded the halacha of Shua Shechalbo to Rosh Chodesh if the Gemara expressly tells us not that way? Let's take a look at the second page and another question. And here, this is the most intricate of all of the sources that we have. I know it's late. I try to keep the sources from not being too detailed. This is the most intricate of all the sources that we have, where we have a tour that has a striking lashon in regards to women or men. In time of Gemara, they spoke about women, but anybody fixing clothing during the 9 days. Actually, the source here is a very tragic source. It's very apropos for the 9 days. He's someone that I think has been forgotten in the gaps of history. And the source over here that the Torah quotes is the Rabbeinu Shavat, Rabbeinu Shevet. Rabbeinu Shevet was Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Natrunoi. He's quoted by the Mordechai. We don't know very much about him. What we do know was that he was murdered al-Kiddush Hashem by the Crusades. And it's probably not a coincidence that his Shita becomes extremely important during this time. So the Rashbat, or Rabbeinu Shevet, is quoted by the Tur in Source 8. Kasa Rabbeinu Shavat. To hu adin nami chelim chadoshim osur l'sakein b'shabish echal tisha b'av lios b'socha. It's prohibited to fix clothing during Shavuot Chalba. Okay, so far so good. It's prohibited during that week. That's fine. That's consistent with the Gemara that says that the Yisurim start during Shavuot Chalba. But the Beis Yosef is bothered why the Rashbat said it the way he did. Because of his source. Let's continue on. And number 8 on the first line, towards the end of the line. Digar sinam biyushalmi beperek makam shenagu, nishi dinihigi delola mishti imra, migu da ayil of minhaga. The Yerushalmi says that there was a custom for women to stop making clothing from Rosh Chodesh. Comes along the Beis Yosef, and Beis Yosef said, why did the Rashbat quote the Yerushalmi incorrectly? The Yerushalmi says, from where? Migu da'ayil av. He says from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Av. The Rashbat says that there's an Isra of Shavuot Shechalbo. So now in the Yerushalmi we see this idea of starting from Av, but the Rashbeit said that it's Usur during Shavuot Chalba. That's what we pointed on the bottom of 8. V'tzarech iyun kamo shiksha Beis Yosef sham. This is a quote verbatim from the Beis Yosef. V'yesh lishol. The Yerushalmi says, Me Rosh Chodesh. Yerushalmi says, Me Rosh Chodesh. Ma ra Rabbeinu Shavat shelo lesor el b'shabes atzmo. Why did the Rashbat say that it's only Usur during Shavuot Chalba? So this is the Beis Yosef's second Tzarechiyun, unrelated to the first, at first glance. And that is, why did the Rashbat change from the Yerushalmi that introduced the halacha of not making clothing during the 9 days? Tzarechiyun number 3, let's go to Gimel. Source number 9. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainis on the rule of Mishenichnas Av Memaitim B'Simcha. What's this idea that when Av comes, we begin to slow down in Simcha, in enjoyment? What's this halacha? The Rambam has two expressions of the idea of Memaitim B'Simcha in two different contexts. One is the context of the Memait B'Simcha in a week from now in Rosh Chodesh Av, and the other is in the case of Tainis Tzibur. Let's compare the Rambam's language of the idea of being Memayit B'Simcha at a time when there's no rain, that's the case of Tainis Tzibur, and the Rambam's language in regards to Rosh Chodesh Av. Source 9, Rambam Hilchas Tainis Perek Hei Halacha Vav, Mishayikaneis Av Memayitim B'Simcha. That's all the Rambam says. Rambam just says, when Av comes, so you begin to lessen Simcha. In Source 10, when the Rambam discusses the halachos of Tainis Tzibur, the Rambam writes, Avru Elu Velo Nenu, he begins to spell out what all the halachos are. And that's based on a Gemara in Yevamos. And there the Gemara tells us what it means to be Mimayit B'Simcha. Mimayitin B'Masa U'Mata U'B'Minyin Shel Simcha. Kigon Siyar V'Kiyor B'Netiyah Shel Simcha. Anything, any building that gives a person joy. If you take a look under number 10, we have our third Tzarechiyun. And that is, the Lechem Mishnah asks, if the Gemara puts together the halacha, the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Gimel, puts together the halacha of being Memayit B'Simcha, of Mishenichnas Av Memayit B'Simcha, as well as the halacha of Tainis Tzibur, why did the Rambam not give the details when it came to Av, like he gave by Tainis Tzibur? V'tzarechiyun lama Rambam medinei tishba v'lo kasav ele shvinichnas amatim b'simcha v'lo izkir klal adinum shamiyit b'simcha kamo avru v'lo nenu. This is the Lechem Mishnah's question. So let's summarize, let's crunch what we have. We have three different difficulties in understanding the halachos of the Beit HaMetzarim. Number one, tzarichim number one that we have that started on number seven is where did the Ramah get this idea to introduce something that was mefurish against the Bavli? Of starting for the Isra of Tichboses, already starting from Rosh Chodesh Av. Number two, we have the strange Lashon of the Rashbeit, that the Rashbeit said that the halachos of being Mesaken Kalim that are introduced by the Yerushalmi is usher during the week of Tisha B'Av. Yet if you look in the source of the Yerushalmi itself, it says that it starts by Rosh Chodesh Av. And number three, why did the Rambam not spell out the halachos of Mishenichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha if at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to relate it to the halachos of Tainus Tzibur? And by Tainus Tzibur, the Rambam gives us the details that there are certain halachos of Binyan Shel Simcha. Why did the Rambam spell that out in regards to Mishenichnas Av? Let's deal with the last question first. In the third title, Pirush Mishenichnas Av Matim B'Simcha, let's take a look at the source where the Rav answered the first question, the last question conceptually, and then let's see how the Aruch HaShulchan actually applies this halacha l'maisa with the chidush l'halacha. The Rav suggested the following way of reconciling the Lechem Mishnah's question. V'anira lomar b'zeh, d'cholo ka isur b'shavua shechal bo mei isur mei Rosh Chodesh Av, d'b'shavua shechal bo tisha b'av, chal kvar ha isur v'niyug havelus al maisa misuyum kemob kibus. Said the Rav says the following. The halachos of Avelus really only start with Shavua Shechal Bo. And we're going to venture to suggest that even the Ramah agrees with this. The halachos start only with Shavua Shechal Bo. So what's going on? What's this whole Rosh Chodesh Av? What is the Hagdara Mishenichnas Av Matim B'Simcha? If it really starts only the week of Tisha B'Av? Third line, second word on the line, in source 11. Amar Meish Chodesh Av Ve'elech Ein Chalois Din Shal Niyug Avelus Ve'ein Shem Chalois Din Shal Avelus Ha'oyser B'maisim Esuyim. There are no prohibited actions from Rosh Chodesh Av. V'chol Adin Shal Minichnas V'Av Maitim Esimcha Hu Chiyuv Shal Avelus Shebelev L'mayit B'Simcha. It's a personal halacha that every individual has to make his own cheshben ha-nefesh, how he needs to be b'mayit b'simcha. Avol ein chefsa shel ma'isim shei shalem chiyuv shel niyug avelus. There's no particular details that apply to any particular individual. It's very, very personal. In contrast to Tainus Tzibur, for Tainus Tzibur there are halachos that people have to act as if they are nizufin. They have been put in cheirim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rambam doesn't say that in regards to the halacha of Mishenichnas Av. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I'll tell you an afkamina la-halacha. Many poskim struggle with the fact that when it comes to Tainus Tzibur, one is supposed to minimize the amount of commerce that we do during the 9 days. And the poskim all struggle with the idea. We see that by Tainus Tzibur, the Rambam mentioned based on the Gemara that you have to be Mamayit B'Masa U'Matan. So does that apply during the 9 days? What exactly are the parameters of it? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, is Masa U'Matan enjoyable? Whether the markets are good, or Kal V'Chomer and the markets are bad, at the end of the day it's making a living. That's not enjoyable. That's not Masa U'Matan that's enjoyable. That doesn't fall into the category Mishenichnas Av Matim B'Simcha. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the same Mahalach of the Rav on a detail. The Rav said it in a klaliistic way. The Aruch HaShulchan, in a general way. The Aruch HaShulchan says it in a very, very specific way. And that is that even though when it comes to Tainus Tzibur, there's a requirement to diminish Masa U'Matan because a person has to act as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put him on some level of Cheirim by not sending rain. When it comes to the halacha of Mishenichnas Av, so then it's personal joy. It's not so joyous to go to work. So therefore he says there's no prohibition of Masa U'Matan. Take a look at the number 12. V'lo shai, towards the end of the second line, ולא שייך לומר שכנזופן אנחנו חס וחלילה. ולמה נסר עלינו מסל מתון? שאין בזה שמחה כלל. Going to work is not that enjoyable. Tain Sibur is a separate halacha on the ma'atim b'simcha. But this halacha on the ma'atim b'simcha by Av is personal simcha. And then he adds in the parentheses, and he says, and all the other poskim that tried to reconcile, they missed the yesod. They missed the yesod in the parentheses. V'amifarshim wrote some lahashvo zeh ha'masel matan. Im ha'masel matan the tainis. V'zeh das ha'tur. He says there are many who say that it is the das ha'tur in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Aruch HaShulchan claims that the easiest way of reconciling it is realizing that there's a difference between the halacha memayit b'simcha by Av and the halacha being memayit by simcha by tainis sibur. And that was the same yesod that Rav Soloveitchik suggested in terms of reconciling the Rambam. So now we've reconciled Tzarech Iyun Sri, based on the Rav's Yisoid, with the Chidush Vahalacha of the Aruch HaShulchan. Now let's go to the most detailed of our Tzarech Iyuns, the Rashbeit. The Beis Yosef had asked against the Rashbeit, why did you, Rashbeit, say that there is an Isser to be Mesakeh and Kalim that's prohibited to fix garments during the week if the Yerushalmi itself said that the prohibition is from Rosh Chodesh Av? Take a look at the underline of the Beis Yosef. Now, the Beis Yosef does give two terutzim. Maybe I'll torture the Kollel guys sometime during Seder to address the first terutz of the Beis Yosef. But we, not having the benefit of spending time during Seder, we're going to focus on the second terutz of the Beis Yosef. I will concede, for those who want to be ma'ayin, that the first approach of the Beis Yosef is a different approach than what we're going to suggest tonight. But the second mahalach of the Beis Yosef works with the approach that we've seen from the Rav, and we're about to develop in Machshava as well. There is a nuance in the first terutz of the Beis Yosef that I would love for people to work on, but we're going to focus on the underline. V'od yesh lomar. Look at the Beis Yosef's terutz. And really what the Beis Yosef is about to do is not only be miyashev Tzarech Iyun 2, but even Tzarech Iyun number 1. V'od yesh lomar, sherashbeit soivar, dehadi kamar b'Yerushalmi min haga. The Rashbeit understood the Yerushalmi like this. This that we say that there's a minog, haynu lomar shu minik kosher. The Yerushalmi, and I would venture to say the Ramah, their language is precise. They speak about a minhag, a custom. In those days, it was enjoyable to make new clothing. Today, it might be enjoyable to go to a ball game. The Yerushalmi speaks about a minhag, a custom. Continues the Beis Yosef. Aval eino aser min hadin elabos haShabbos bilvad. The Isser of Nihuge Avelis is only during that Shabbos. The Lok Haimalon Kerebi Meir. We don't paskin like Rebbe Meir, the Asamir Eshchodesh. Elokar Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Lo Asar Elabos Shabbos. Only like Reb Shimon Gamliel says the week itself is Asar. So the Ramah, in all of the instances where the Ramah brings down what we call the 9 days, according to the second answer of the Beis Yosef, he never meant to say that in Ashkenaz we expanded Shavua Shechalbo to the 9 days. And there are Gedolei Achronim that say this. But that's not the pshat according to this teretz of the Beis Yosef. And it's not the pshat according to the Rambam. The pshat is that there are two different things that are at play. One is Shavua Shechalbo, where you have the halachos of Avelus. And then there was an Isser of Simcha. And in that Isser of Simcha, different minhagim propped up. And it could be today, we'll all get together and we'll say, you know what, playing softball is okay, but going out to the ballpark doesn't qualify as being in the spirit of Rosh Chodesh Av. It's a special halacha mishenichnas am ma'atim b'simcha. So now we've answered Tzarech Iyun number 2 and Tzarech Iyun number 1. Tzarech Iyun number 2 was, why is it that the Rashbeit formulates it as an Isser Shavua Shechalbo? Yet the Yerushalmi, the source, says a minog. Says the Beis Yosef, it goes like this. The Rashbeit saw that if they already made a minog of Mimayit B'Simcha, starting from Rosh Chodesh, so then that was indicated that there's something very, very joyous, and therefore, of course, in Shavua Shechalbo there's an Isser. But the Rashbeit never said that it's Asur Betur Isurei Avelus. And I'd like to be Mosif to the Beis Yosef. Let's look back in the Lashon HaGemara in source number 7. The Lashon HaGemara was, the Tanya Idach, v'noheg Avel. The discussion in the Gemara was Nihuke Avelus. Nihuke Avelus means the halachos of Avelus. And we passed him based on that Gemara that Nihuke Avelus only started in Shavuot Shechalbo. The halachos of Rosh Chodesh, we are venturing to say, based on those who preceded us, that all of those halachos are a din in global simcha. Based on this, maybe we could explain a strange kula that appears in the Mishnah Berurah. I think the parents here in the audience will appreciate this heter and the rationale for this heter more than the bachurim. Are you allowed to wash your children's clothing? You know, the shirt that you washed for him in the morning, and then by the time 4 o'clock came along, had the baseball game and lunch all over it. So are you allowed to wash that during after Rosh Chodesh Av? 14 in the Mishnah Berurah. Ayin bel yo rabba, diladidon yesh lahachbir betisporis miyudzayin betamlus v'chibus mirosh chodesh. Our custom is to prohibit hair cutting from Shivasa betamlus and washing clothes from Rosh Chodesh. What I want to focus on is the next part. U'bechaye yodam kosav, 14, diletzorech tanim ein lahachmir, that for the needs of children, you don't have to be machmir. Why? From Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to be a machmir for children's clothing. Because there might be a joy for us to walk, to clean that beautiful Pierre Cardin suit, the Armani suit, but when it comes to cleaning the child's shirt the third time in the day, there's no simcha whatsoever. And if you take a look, the Chayei Adam seems to formulate in this halacha. So this becomes a nafkamina lahalacha. If we would be extending the Isser Kibbutz backwards to Rosh Chodesh Av, so then in such a case, if Shuah Shechalbo it's Asr, then Rosh Chodesh will be Asr. Will we extend back what the halacha suggests as minhagim, of course, meaning of Klal Yisrael's Torahi, that has Kedusha, so we're not going to say, well, now we're going to be lenient on something that was a minog once upon a time, but it's stemming from a minog. It's not an isur. Hence, if there never was simcha, for our bubas there wasn't simcha to wash the kids' clothing, and for us also there's no simcha. So there never was a minog of prohibiting it because of simcha. And since there was never a minog that prohibited it based on simcha, so then the halacha would be that it would be permitted even today. You take a look, Rav Nevin Sal, in number 15, was asked a very general question in a beautiful sefer that was put out, Yushalayim b'ma'adeha. He was asked a very basic question: what does it mean? Maha kavona mishenichnas avim ma'atim b'simcha. What does it mean, mishenichnas avim ma'atim b'simcha? Take a look at Rav Nevin Sal's answer, and take a look what the editor added to what Rav Nevin Sal said. I'll give you the editorial background in a moment. But let's look at one of the post-Giador's teretz. Tshuva. What does it mean, Mishenichna Samayitim Simcha? Nire shekolul bazeh kol mine simcha. It includes any type of simcha. There are no halachos. It's a very, very personal avoda. It's a very personal avoda. Now, the editors of the Yerushalayim B'Ma'adez, many of the rabbeim in yeshiva, who are zocha to be close with Rav Nevin Sal. So every single one of them wants to have a shaychus to Rav Nevin Sal. So everyone offers to go through his answers of the svarim that are eventually put out, Yerushalayim B'Ma'adeh. So, but it's rabbeim, talmidei chachamim from the old city. So I found a few of my haros in the sefer. So look at what this magia says. I don't know who the magia is. I'm sure he's a friend of mine. But I'd like to be cholek on this magia over here. What the magia added to what Rav Nevin Sal said. I think Rav Nevin Sal's lashon was meduyak. And the magia, I think, is pushing in a direction that's different than what Rav Nevin Sal had said. V'hosip azeh ha-magia, omnom bepashtus yesh lomar, shemematen besimcha hainu bebinyan unatiyo shel simcha kamoshenir betur. The magia says, I think that when we say Mishnichnas Amayit Simcha, the Torah gives an example, and that is to build a house is Simcha. Why did Rav Nevin Sal not quote the Torah? He knew the Torah. The answer is he's driving in a different direction. the direction, I think, is the same direction that Rav Soloveitchik was driving in. That these are not particular halachas of Nihugei Avelus. Every person has to make his own cheshben ha-nefesh of what is the simcha that he or she should be memayit on in their own avodas hayom. Now what's left to ask is why? Why is that so? Why is it that when it comes to the halachas of Avelus, when a person loses a relative, there are very particular halachos? There's Shiva, there's Shloshim. We as Talmidim of the Talmidim of Soloveitchik had always been brainwashed that there was Shiva that was modeled after Tisha B'Av, Shloshim, which is modeled after 9 days, and Yud Beis Chodesh, which is the halachos of 3 weeks, which are modeled after Yud Beis Chodesh. Now we're suggesting there's this very unique middle category according to the Ramah. But when it comes to the halachos of Avelus, so then there's a unique structure over here. And that unique structure is that the halacha tells us the appropriate way to mourn during Shiva, Shloshim, and Yud Beis Chodesh. Yet when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Av, we're arguing nafkaminas the halacha, the structure is very different. So what's going on? Why must there be an initiation of a personal cheshbon, a mishenich nesam matim b'simcha, as opposed to the halachas of Nihugei Avelus, which we have for Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh? Also, those Avelus are connected to the heart. We know, we learned in the Kolel, that Avelus is definitely not an Avelus if it doesn't affect the lev. But we're asking a more subtle question. And that is, why when it comes to Mishenich Nesav, there aren't Nihugei Avelus? There's this unique idea of Mematim Simcha. Of course, all halachos of Avelus, the kiyum is the Avelus Shebelev, like Rav Soloveitchik taught us. That's for sure. But what is it about the Avelus of Migdash that you have this unique halacha Mishenich Nesav Mematim Simcha, and that there is this frame from Rosh Chodesh Av, which is different than the structure that we have of Shiva Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh? So let's take a look at the last group, the Yisod Kedushas HaMikdash, and see how this Yisod might be relevant to our own personal avodah. What exactly is Kedushas HaMikdash? Of course, Rav Miller gave us the Yisodos, the mechanics, in an absolutely stunning way tonight, the Lomdus of how it works. Let's go a little bit to the Machshava. Let's take a look at the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki ir shechubra lo yachtav, that Yerushalayim is an ear that joins us all together. Klomar, ki ir shebonaka. V'targum Yerushalmi, de misfanyo berekia bekartel ischabra kechodo ba'ara. You know what the essence of Migdash is, says the Medrash, with the Targum Yerushalmi? The essence is the bringing down of the loftiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ila'a, the Shechinta's Ila'a, down to this world. Ki'ir Shechubra Layakav. It's the Chibur, it's the joining between the materialistic world and the Ila'a, the heavens. That's what the Midrash Tanchuma writes, and this is Yesod Gadol of the essence of Migdash. It's an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an encounter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It was a regular house, but we sense godliness in it. There was miracles there. Now it's much harder to feel Shechina. Once upon a time, you wanted to feel Shechina, you got on the two bus, and it was there. Now, it's much more difficult. But we think about this, Rabbi Osai. Let's go a little bit deeper. In Chassidus and Kabbalah, this Yesod is not only the Yesod in regards to Migdash, it's in every single one of us. This is represented in the lave of a person, in a person's heart. The lave, the heart, represents the chibur, the joining together of the ila'a, the neshama, the chelek eloka, mimal of a person, and his guf. It's the center part of the body. It's the union between the moach, as we'll see in a moment, the moach represents the ila'a, the godliness of the individual, and his corporeality, his ramach evarim and shesagidim. Let's take a look at the Zohar in Parsha Shlach, number 17. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us something stuck in the middle. The lave. Shesham shora halev. The lave represents, according to the Zohar, the union between the loftiness of man and what pulls him down. We all know that our amachei varim and shesagidin, that our body sometimes causes us, our yetzara causes us to do averis. The rosh represents the ilah. Take a look at number 18 in the Tanya. Achmako mishka nefesh elukus. The resting place of nefesh elukus. Hu b'moichin sheberosh. It starts with the rosh. So the lave is that chibur between that nefesh eloka mimal, that represents the ideals that we might know are ideals that we're supposed to do. And the job of the heart is through its passion is to be able to take those ideals and somehow find a way to execute it in the Ramach Evarim and Shesagidim. So now what emerges is that there are really two hearts. There's the heart of the world, there's the Lev HaOlam, which is also mirrored in the lave of every person. The lave olam is the migdash, and the lave of every person is what joins together, collaborates between the kochos of man, and it also calibrates between his desires, his corporeal desires, and what he knows is important. Nefesh HaChaim goes even further. In many ways, I like to argue that the Nefesh HaChaim sometimes more of a chassid than the Bala Tanya. Take a look. The Tanya said that the Chelek Elokam Imal was from the Moach. Nefesh HaChaim says something even more startling. Gam kol zos yechra leva odam yam ha-kodesh hu kol betavniso kol ha-kochos v'olam ha-skulo. This is the important part, the next thing at the end of the line. Shein heima ha-kodesh v'amigdash ho-elyon v'alev shel odam emtziusa de-gufu. The Migdash and the lave represent the center because the body, a human being's body, is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's entire existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us tremendous kochos. And therefore, once He gives us tremendous kochos, the lave itself corresponds to that Mokom HaMigdash. So now, once the Nefesh HaChaim has gone so far to equate our heart to the Migdash itself, so then there are really two things that happen in the destruction of the Beis HaMigdash. There's the severance of the practical manifestation of Shechinta in this world, but that becomes also manifest as a severance of the lave from the calibration of the Moach with the Ramach Evarim and the Sagidim. Let me talk in give two practical examples of that. That's Nogeya. It's relevant for our own Avoda during Bein HaMitzarim. My wife told me that 2 days ago there was an article in the Jerusalem Post. And in the article it described that there was an individual who was arrested for trying to escape a parking lot without paying, and also ran over a female security guard in the process. And some of his rabbonim appealed the verdict, and they said, I'm still stunned, I shake when I say this, they said, they begged the court to let him off because it will ruin his possibilities of becoming a dayan. A dayan. That represents the ultimate severance of the Moach from the Ramach Evarim. That's extreme number one. Of course, this represents extreme, but at the end of the day, what we're seeing is the severance between the Ila'a, the guy could be a Dayan, but his Ramach Evarim and his Shesagidim are totally not connected. The lave has been totally missing. Me'idach Kisa, Rabosai. Sometimes, instead of focusing on the Moach and realizing our responsibility of the Ramach Evarim Nishisagidim, we tend to be guilty of something in the opposite direction. Let me quote a transcription of something that the Rav had said, Rav Soloveitchik had said, which he was talking about Orthodoxy in the United States in the 70s, and Kal Vachomer, what the Rav describes then, is relevant to us today in Eretz Yisrael. It is very strange. It is a very strange atmosphere which prevails in the United States now. I don't know who is responsible for it. Here you could hear the Rav speaking for those who are familiar with the Rav's language. I am speaking about the religious community. Somehow there is an ear of suspicion. People are suspicious of each other. I am not enough frum. I should be more because the people are critical of me. And the same goes in the opposite direction, where people feel a pressure in certain communities for social reasons to be less frum. I see this now. The mentality of Orthodoxy in America is simply to assure the next door neighbor that I am good. And there is a tendency on the part of people to somehow tell the next door neighbor that I am just like you. There is no difference between me and you. We have the same hashkafos, the same outlook on the world. And it has a very negative, destructive effect upon, let's be medayik if you will, our intellectual accomplishments. The Rav is saying that what happens is that we begin to follow the redifos, haguf, of everybody else. We begin to follow like animals what everybody else is doing. And before long, even though there might be intellectual accomplishments, at the end of the day, the heart is no longer calibrating what the ilah says for the Ramach Evarim. We begin to just simply follow the crowd. And that's certainly something that applies today even more than it did when the Rav described. So now, the Avelus of Migdash is not only an Avelus of that Shchinta Bigalusa, of that Lev, but from the perspective of Chassidus and Kabbalah, becomes the process of resuscitating our own personal heart. And thereby, as with the Zechus, to reawaken the heart of the entire world, to reawaken the Migdash. And that also applies to the perspective of Musar as well. That we begin need to think not only in theoretical terms, but in very, very practical terms, to begin to bridge that gap between our Maisim of the Ramach Evarim and the Ilah. Let's go back to the question that we had started with. Our question was, why is it, when it comes to the halachos of Avelus, all the time we focus on Yehuge Avelus? The halacha dictates, and the heart responds. Yet, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, there's this nuance that some people have missed. And that's the Mishenichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha. Why is it different? The answer is because that's what we need to be misaken from Churban. Churban represented the idea of either being detached intellectually or simply focusing on the Ramach Evarim. The Avodas Hayom of the Bein HaMitzarim is to start believe that every person has to start on his own, in his own definition of Simcha, and in his own Yachas with Migdash. There's so many places where we could start. We'll just leave with one example, it's late. What was something that was very, very special in Migdash? What was unique in Migdash? Mishnah Navos describes, we'll focus only on one thing, describes that Migdash was lamala mehazman. Migdash was above space, but it was also above time. How? Because the lechem aponim that would normally rot after a day or two, begin to get moldy, didn't rot after a whole week. So if we're going to work on the avoda of Migdash, that bechina of Lev, let's begin to think a little bit about Zman. about not only using our Zman as being entirely our own, but to begin to be a little bit Lamala Me'azman. I want to tell you a dugma. We quoted Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal, every word that he says is meduyak. Everything he says is absolutely precise. And everything Rav Nevensal does vis-a-vis time is extremely precise as well. I remember the only time Rav Nevensal screamed at me, in a way I was hoping that he would finally give me some musar. So I sat down next to him, and he said to me, "You have to." I never heard him say, "You have to." He said, this was in Hebrew, this conversation. He said to me, "You have to." I was like bracing myself. He said to me, "You have to change the clock." They had changed the clock that morning, and he said, "The clock is wrong." Rav Nevensal is a stickler for Zman. That was the only time that he was mitzaving me. He says, "You have to change the clock." Yet, someone who's such a stickler for time, when someone comes and sits down to speak to him in learning, by the way, he starts shir on the dot. Shir is 12 o'clock. It starts 12 o'clock, O-O, on the second button, and it ends on 12:30. I feel bad for the Talmidim in the kolel, but so there's some things that's hard to take from one's Rebbe. And he starts at 12:00, and then he concludes at 12:30. That's the length of shir. That's when he stops. Yet, the world is waiting. We mentioned the Sfarim Yushalayim b'Moadeha. There's Sfarim that have come out about Avel Svein Mitzarim. Sfarim that have come out on Shavuos. There's a big two-volume work that's his son Reb Chizkiya Nevensal writes, and Reb Avigdor goes through every part of the Sefer beforehand. A two-volume work on Hilchos Shabbos that's been at play now for about two or three years now, if I'm not mistaken. And Reb Nevensal sits by his shtender, and usually he looks over the galleys. That's what he does in the morning Seder in the Old City. And he looks over the galleys, and then sometimes, all the time, people come over and ask him. So he doesn't only, in my experience, he doesn't only put the galleys aside. And by the way, the questions that we're asking him most of them are so mundane. The Talmidim Shana Aleph boys are asking him, you know, if you have to wear tzitzis at night. And the questions are so basic. But not only does he sit with Menuchas HaNefesh and answer it, he takes the galleys and he stands up and he puts it back into the folder on the shelf. To stand up is not easy for him. Then the Talmud leaves after asking his mundane question, stands up again, pulls the galleys out, and begins to look at it again. Here's someone who every second is so important, yet for every little schnook like myself, he sits, gives them all the time in the world. All of a sudden here, his Zman is not so important. That's because the Moach, that tremendous Moach, has had the Lev calibrate the Ramach Evarim Nishas HaGidim. During this Avoda of Mishenichnas Amimatim B'Simcha, we have to begin to make that Cheshbon, whether it be Lamala Me'azman B'Kin El Mikdash, or whether it be a different Avoda in which the Lev begins the process, not the Moach, not the Ramach Evarim. And through that, we'll be zocha to have the tikkun of our lev and the tikkun lev of Olam.